kid in the head when he was 25. Speed jive, don't wanna stay alive when you're 25. And when you're stealing clothes with logs and sparks, and Freddy's got spots from ripping up the stock from his face, funky little boat race. The television man is crazy, Sam with juvenile delinquent Rex. Oh, man, I need TV when I got T-Rex. Oh, brother, again. Stones, we never got it off on that revolution stove. What a drag. Too many snacks. Nah, I drunk a lot of wine and I'm feeling fine. Gonna raise some cap to bed. Oh, is that concrete all around? Or is it in my head?
Hello and good day to you. This is Scribo on Sunday, but as I always keep saying, it's Scribo on any day now, due to the fact that you can just download this show and listen to it when you want to. And I really like that. And I really like that song, All the Young Dudes, opening up the show. No cover. That's the original that came out, I say, in 1972 by the brilliant band Mott the Hoople, and got to number 3 in the charts and number 34 in the USA, and that's an achievement, trust me, for one of your first singles. And it was definitely, for those of us over 50, I think you'll agree, it was the summer anthem. So it came out in July 72. What a song, what a fantastic song that was, and obviously written by the great David Bowie, and a great story behind it. And this is what we do on this show. We have a little of the backstories on some of the songs, not all the songs, but there's always sometimes a little interesting tale, and here's a great example of it. Mott the Hoople had been going a few years, and they were quite popular. They were a musician's band. People knew of them. Cult band, I suppose, is the best way of saying it. David Bowie loved them. They'd put some albums out, and they'd even got on Top of the Pops. Midnight Lady, I think, it was the single, but it didn't get into the charts. And then they had a bit of a disastrous tour around Europe, and they just had enough. And they just had enough, and David Bowie found out about it, and he said, no, you can't give up, you know, have this song. And they said, what song is it? And he said, I'll come round and I'll play it to you. And there he sat cross-legged, and he played them, All the young dudes, just him singing, and the legend has it, the room was just like a deathly silence. And I think David Bowie thought they didn't like it because they'd already turned down Suffragette City. And, you know, I'm not going to put words in the legend's mouth, but it must have gone along the lines, well, what's up? And they went, no, it's just amazing. You can't be giving us that song. That's a number one. And they even knew. They knew it. Ian Hunter said the airs on his arms, Ian Hunter was the singer, went up on the back of his neck. Everything was tingling. He said he'd never had that feeling before and he'd never had it since, that he just knew instinctively that was going to be the song that took him, you know, to the top. And it did, as I say, come out in July 72, and they didn't look back then. Had some great singles and had some great tours, and all come down to Mr. David Bowie. As per usual, the genre is anything, anything goes. Yeah, a bit of a weird show this week. I'm all over the place as usual, but summer is here, so let's have some yacht rock. Cue the Babies and Big Star.
Falling in love was the last thing I had on my mind. Holding you is a warmth that I thought I could never find. Just trying to decide. I've seen visions of someone like you in my life. A love that's strong, reaching out, holding me through the darkest night. Just trying to decide. Or stay by your side. I don't want to cry. I just can't find the answer. I feel a warmth in my heart and my soul that I never knew. This love affair gives me strength that I need just to get me through.
Won't you let me walk? home from school. Won't you let me meet you at the pool? Maybe Friday I can get tickets for the dance. Now take you, ooh. Won't you tell your dad, get off my back? Tell him what we said about painted black. Rock and roll is here to stay. Come inside, well, it's okay. Now shake you. Ooh.
Yep, can't beat a bit of yacht rock. What a funny genre. Where did that come from? Where did it come from? Yacht rock. But I love yacht rock, actually. If that means it's just great songs, then yeah, I'm a big fan of yacht rock. But so quite a few other people. There was a documentary, I think, if it's on BBC Four, well worth looking at, as in this sort of genre of music, which people describe as yacht rock. But yeah, it's quite funny. But that was The Babies, Isn't It Time, released in 77. English band. Actually, from their album Broken Heart. What a lovely sound, but it's America, isn't it? I was really surprised to find out they were an English band, and not surprising, I think it failed to chart in England. I think it reached about number 45, but a massive hit in America, number 8. And I mean, there's some songs that just lend themselves to a Dodge Charger or a full Mustang in there, or a V8, and just driving down the highway. With a superb FM radio and, you know, geared to it. I'm sure people wrote songs specifically for FM radio back in the 70s because it was such a, you know, a great format to hear great songs. I think the key part of that was probably the backing singers, Lisa Freeman Roberts, Miriam Matthews and Pat Anderson. Great, great, great backing vocals. And if you ever want an example of how backing vocals can make a song, go and have a listen to it again. Isn't It Time, The Babies. Big Star 13. I played them before on previous shows, but I thought I'd play them again. It's a lovely song. I think Rolling Stones described it as one of the most beautiful celebrations of adolescence and put it down, I think, number 396 in their list of greatest songs of all time. It came from Big Star's debut album, number one record. Similar to the band I was talking about last week, Jellyfish. Everybody in the music business absolutely loved them. Musicians loved them. They were on with Stax Records, but apparently limited distribution and it stunted its commercial success. Just didn't click. Sometimes bands and songs didn't click at the time. And they were probably disappointed. And like all bands, if you don't reach that, just get to that next level. And they broke up in 1974, but ever since, and every passing decade, they've grew in stature, and they are now one of the most revered bands in the world. But here's a band I love and I've revered, The Verve, with some live versions of Lucky Man and Bittersweet Symphony.
happiness, more or less. It's just a change in something in my liberty. Watch my people grow and I know just where I am. And how many corners do I have to turn? How many times do I have to learn? All the love I have is in my mind. But I'm a lucky man with fire. Happiness, something in my own place. I'm studio naked, smiling, I feel no disgrace with who I am. Happiness coming and going. I watch you look up and watch my fever grow, and I know just who I am. And how many corners do I have to turn? How many times do I have to learn? All the love I have is in my mind. I hope you understand. I hope you understand. Don't think I'm lying, 'cause I'm flying. We'll be right back.
your steak bake, boys.
Like them live versions, great versions of Lucky Man and Bittersweet Symphony by Richard Ashcroft. That wasn't the Verve, that was actually Richard Ashcroft Band playing live and doing some brilliant renditions of two brilliant songs. Lucky Man, I think that was the third single from the band's studio album, Urban Myths, which is an all-time classic. Released around about November 1997. Got to number 7 in the UK charts, and it was also the band's second top 20 hit in America, climbing up to number 16. Didn't know that. U2's Bono came out and commented and listed a song as one of the 6 songs released between that sort of around that period that he wished he'd written. Well, don't we all, Bono? We'd all like to write that song. Bittersweet Symphony, that was produced by Youth. And if you don't know who Youth is, he's an absolute stunning producer and a brilliant bass player from my good friend's band, Geordie in Killing Joke. And they did use the original single, a bit of a story behind that one. Obviously, they used a sample. Everybody was into sampling stuff back in the 90s. And from the 1965 version of the Rolling Stones, The Last Time, by the Andrew Oldham Orchestra. And they may have regretted using it, because I think if you just realise that the song was great without it. It was brilliant with it, but it was great without it, and it cost them a lot of money. I think after a lawsuit, the Verve sort of had to relinquish all royalties, and the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger and Keith Richard, were added as the songwriting credits. I bet the Glimmer Twins enjoyed that, especially as it got to number 2. But again, a bit like All the Young Dudes, that was an anthem of the time. You know, you put that song on and everybody, I said before, I used to run a couple of clubs, and especially at Bar Central up at the city centre. When that song went on, the whole venue just sort of erupted into a shuffle. It was brilliant, brilliant. And got to number 12 in America. So, as I say, I should imagine Keith and Mick were extremely happy. Classic 96 Tears and Get a Grip on Yourself by The Stranglers.
Come
that I ever did was play some rock and roll. But the man is not good. Just get a grip on yourself.
Good version, that, from the Stranglers. I quite like it. It got panned, I think, when it came out. It hasn't got the roughness or the edginess of the... That was it, Question Mark and the Mysterians. Yeah, there's a band's name for you. Question Mark and the Mysterians. First released 96 tiers in 1966. And brilliant single. Brilliant single. And got to number one in America. Massive, massive song. And yeah, they enjoyed... fame for quite a few years living off that. But so that was the Stranglers' take on it. So I do like to play some different cover versions here and there. And then obviously followed by, I think this was their second single. I think it might have been their first single, actually, Get a Grip on Yourself, released in January 77. That was when punk was really kicking in. And it only got to number 44 in the charts, but you know, the charts took a bit of time to catch up on punk. That's what I liked about it when it first started. It was very underground, very cult, very NME, you know, sort of magazines, fanzines. You didn't really care if you was involved in punk, if it was in the mainstream or not. You were just celebrating the fact there was something different than the Rubettes, you know, or Mud. It was just like a relief, really. Good song, produced by the brilliant producer Martin Russian. Okay, time for a classic with a link, a very strong link. I'm sure you'll know it, but time for some Small Faces and then P.P. Arnold.
We'll be right back.
built-in soldier that wants to jump into your fire. You are a look in your eye, a dream passing by in the sky. Oh, I don't understand. And all I need is treat me like a man, 'cause I ain't no try. Take me like I am. I got the love that I belong to you. I do anything that you want me to. I sing a song that you want me to sing to you.
Yeah.
Two brilliant songs, Tin Soldier by the Small Faces, and then First Cut is the Deepest by P.P. Arnold. Tin Soldier released back in 67, 2nd December, Christmas song, written by Steve Marriott, and the song peaked at number 9, but I mean, it's just an all-time absolute 100% classic. And it's not just me or my friends. I know a lot of people do like it as well. Mojo, the Esteem magazine, voted Tin Soldier the 10th best single of all time. Yeah, Tin Soldier was originally written by Steve Marriott for P.P. Arnold, who sang First Cut is the Deepest. And she also sang the backing vocals on Tin Soldier. So there was the link. And that came out in 1967. And got to a credible number 18. And interesting thing about First Cut is the Deepest is it's become a hit single for 6 different artists. P.P. Arnold in 67, as I just said, Keith Hampshire in 1973, Rod Stewart in 1977, Papa D in 1995, and Sheryl Crow in 2003. Now, that is a piece of useless information. As I might have mentioned, P.P. Arnold was an Iket in the Icantina review back in 65, and a great biography. If you ever get a chance, read her book, and it's very interesting. Now, she gave up touring with Ike and Tina Turner to come to London because everything it was happening in London at that time to pursue a solo career, and she got one, and deservedly so. She's got a great voice, and talking of great voices, here's the voice of Kelly Jones with 2 Stereophonics classics.
Wait till get a ride in the rain. Buy a ticket, they can check, quick and claim, so we don't spend what's around. For a seat, a place to stop, a green light, a red cross, run around, nigga doing all things like the ones before. For a break, so you can take a little something that'll make your next break come a little quicker than the ones before. For an answer, spy a sweet dancer. She walks from the door of the hall where she waited for your wedding vows. So hurry up and wait. What's worth waiting for? Start some calls, start to make a first move. Magazines, media wants to make us lose. For your dream and a house, you could both plan the car and the sails at the wet dream with a man you wish that you had. So hurry up and wait. What's worth the second to dissolve, feel your appetite lost, lose relevance, lost inside. We wait to get there, and when we get there, we wait around for anyone to tell us what we even got there for. So hurry up and wait. What's worth waiting for? What's worth waiting for?
Distinctive, distinctive, and brilliant, brilliant. Stereophonics. Sometimes you've got to be in the right mood for them, but I very rarely, if they come on the radio, sort of look to turn it off, or if they come up on Spotify, or we listen nowadays, you know, forward or past. They're always an entertaining 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Great band, really good band live as well. Hurry Up and Wait, that was the fifth and final single from their second album, Performance and Cocktails, in 1999. Got to number 11. Decent, decent, but what a great song. And then Have a Nice Day was the second single from their Just Enough Education to Perform in 2001. And yeah, two great songs from an absolute classic band. And talking of classic bands, here's another one, The Faces, followed by one you may have not heard for a few years, Ronnie Lane's How Come.
laughed at all his words. I thought he was a bitter man. He spoke of women's ways. They trap you and they use you before you even know. For love is blind and you're far too kind. Don't ever let it show. I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was younger, I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was stronger, the can-can fights are pretty sure to steal your heart away. The backstage back on earth again. The dressing rooms are great. They come on strong and it ain't too long, but I make you feel.
Eat it when the moon was new.
That's what this show's all about. Two really good songs. Mad Rock heard them for a while. You probably heard a cover versions of Oh La La. I know Rod Stewart did it recently, and quite a few people do it, but no one does it better than Ronnie Wood for some reason. He just gets the right feel on that song. Great take, not surprisingly, produced by Glyn Johns, the legendary Glyn Johns. And another book, if you talk about books to read, go and read Glyn Johns' biography, the famous, world-famous record producer and engineer. He really comes over well. And it was his idea, that Rod Stewart singing the song, and he's just thinking, this isn't working. This is the world-class Rod Stewart doing it down the mic. And he had the strength of character to know when things weren't just right. And he then got Ronnie Lane to try it. And he thought, no, that's still not working. And any sort of last attempt, he said to Ronnie Wood, well, you sing it, let's see how it goes. And then bang, it happened. Oh, sorry, I nearly broke the microphone there. I was getting too excited. And then bang, it happened. And yeah, and what a great song. Came out in 1973. It was the title track of the album. Not sure if it's ever been out as a single. You can tell me. You can let me know. And in the same year, Ronnie Lane left the Faces. And the Faces all started going a bit pear-shaped then. I think Rod Stewart left soon afterwards to pursue his solo career, and a successful one at that. And Ronnie Lane left and just put that single out, How Come. And it was in the summer, and it seemed to catch the imagination of people, and got a very credible number 11 in the UK. And what a great guy. Okay, talking about great guys and great bands, you don't get much better than this, actually. Blind Faith, Can't Find My Way Home, and Keep On Running from the Spencer Davis Group. So basically, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes, I don't know how many minutes, tribute to the brilliance of Stevie Winwood. two great songs from a great singer, probably the greatest singer England has ever produced. Can't Find My Way Home, written by Stevie Winwood and was first released by Blind Faith. That was a live version that you just heard. But that the original version came out on their 1969 album, Blind Faith. And that band, it was the first super group, wasn't it? It was the first ever supergroup. So you had Stevie Winwood and Eric Clapton, Jimmy Baker and Rick Rake, and it's basically Cream and, yeah, the guys got together and everybody was so excited about the supergroup. And their first gig, okay, now most of us who are musicians, you can remember your first gig. I think mine was, well, Leon School. I did mention about it last week, you know, with my mate Geordie hammering some sort of resemblance of Tommy. But most other bands I can remember our first gigs at the Vaults Bar or, you know, Bletchley Working Men's Club or, you know, a mate's house or something. But you do remember them. Blind Faith's first gig was in front of 100,000 people in Hyde Park, London. How do you do that? How do you do your first gig in front of 100,000 people and the world's press and the world's media, you know, of that period? And, yeah, I can sort of imagine Ginger Baker going, where are we playing in? You know, where's the first gig? Marquee, you know, whatever. No, Hyde Park. And the other fascinating thing about that is that concert was just free and 100,000 people turned up. And I've seen footage of it and there's not a high-vis jacket anywhere. Yeah, everybody was fine. You know, it just turned up. Can you imagine going to the Borough of London now, you know, whoever runs the Council of London, going, yeah, I'm just going to do a gig, 100,000 people. Is that all right? Yeah, go on then, off you go. You know, it really does sum up the innocence of the times, doesn't it? Yeah, that people could just do that kind of thing. That concert actually was set up by the people who used to run the infamous or famous, whichever the right word is, club, the UFO Club, which was very influential. We had Pink Floyd, I think, as the house band, and John Lennon loved it there, and everybody used to go there and freak out. But there you go. What a great song. And then followed by Keep On Running. That was the Spencer Davis Group's first number one, I think it was in 1964. And Stevie Winwood was 15, and you're number one in England. That's not bad, is it? I always talk about my time machine, didn't I, the other week? And I'm thinking, in a time machine, you can go back to be someone else, not just yourself. I think I'd want to be Stevie Winwood. Can you imagine being 15 and being number one in the middle of the 60s? Pretty damn good. And there's some great stories about Stevie Winwood that they were massive in the Midlands. They were just, you know, selling out everywhere. And everybody in London's going, when's this, you know, this super kid going to come? And when can we see him? Because there's no YouTube then. There's no TV, no radio. But everybody in the game was hearing about this one, you know, this wonder kid, Stevie Winwood. But no one could see him. And the reason was his mum wouldn't let him stay overnight anywhere, because if they went to London, they were going to have to stay overnight, and she wouldn't let him go in the end. She had to. Okay, I'm boring you. I keep banging the microphone. I do apologise. It's very unprofessional. But someone who's a bit more professional than me, Paul Weller.
Oh, 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 I miss you so. kisses, I feel the head. We'll be right back.
The Wonder of Weller. Great, great, great. Sunflower came out 1993. I really loved that song when it came out. And a credible number 16 in the UK charts. Because it's not a pop single. It's just a great single. And came from his first solo album. When I felt things had started to change for him, Wildwood. Everybody had liked Paul Weller, but not as much, and he wasn't as popular or as sort of esteemed, shall we say, as he was in the Jam. And that album seemed to go, right, no, I am the real deal. And he is the real deal. A great album, and that was a great single. And of course, the Jam, can't beat a bit of the Jam, can you? Bitter as Peel. Number two, got to number two, and back in 1982. I think it was one of their last singles. I can't remember their actual last single. And obviously the Jam, I've always thought they'd reform, but then when you get to know Paul Weller, you think, no, that's not going to happen. But I do feel sorry for Bruce Foxton and Rick Butler to be in the biggest band in the country. And they were. The Jam in 1982 were the biggest band in England by a country mile. They were leaving everybody. Most stuff they put out went to number one, and they were critically acclaimed and also very, very popular. And you got a feel for Bruce Foxton and Rick Butler. I mean, Paul Weller, understandably, said, I think we've done enough and I want to move on. And there they were. But bizarrely, I think both of them ended up in a tribute band to The Jam. I think they were called The Gift. Don't quote me on that. And that's a bit strange, isn't it? You end up being a tribute to yourself. You're in the band. Okay, it is 2023. And in 1973, there was an album that came out that changed my life. Absolutely changed my life. As you regular listeners would know, I was a bit of an outcast, really, musical outcast. While all the glam was going on in 73, and there were some fantastic bands and fantastic songs going on, I never really engaged with them because I was really interested in the 1960s and in the mod movement, and especially the band The Who and The Stones and The Beatles. I just felt the glam stuff was all a bit silly, if you get my drift. It wasn't that real, and I couldn't really engage with it. And then along came this album called Quadrophenia. And I remember buying it October. It was around about autumn. And that album changed my life. I still play it. I must still play it once a month, I think, or at least once every other month. And normally when I play it from start to finish. That is very similar to The Who's Tommy. It's not an album where you pick out a few tracks. You just listen to the album. And then the album cover and the way that the sort of inner words and inner notes, you know, was explaining the story of Jimmy. It's based on Quadrophenia is a double album based on the life of a mod growing up and coming of age. But the way it was written by Peter Townsend, just the style of the writing influenced me as well, and the photography and everything. So here I am, I'm paying homage to the brilliant band The Who. And you can't believe it, can you? 1973, that's when it came out. So here's two tracks I like from it. I'm the One, which always lifts me when I hear it. And The Real Me, which I really associated with because I moved to Milton Keynes around that period, just after it came out. And you had to be nice to everybody, and everybody's asking you questions, and you just sort of thinking, I just want to be on my own, actually. This is a bit difficult moving to the middle of nowhere from the middle of London. And you felt people didn't really know you. So that's why I associated with it. Well, that's it. That's it, this show. Might be shorter than usual. Might be longer. I don't know. But that's it. I always sort of try and do it where I feel it should end. And this is where it's ending. I'm The One, The Real Me. Thank you for downloading the show. Hopefully, we'll all be back next week. Goodbye.
Every year is the same, and I feel it again. I'm a loser, no chance to win. Leaves start falling, come down is calling. Loneliness starts sinking in. But I'm one. I'm one. And I can see that this is me, and I will be. You'll all see I'm the one. Where do you get those blue jeans? Baby, pack secrets so tight. Where do you get
that walk oh so lean. Your shoes and your shirts all just right. I'm one. That this is me, and I will be. You'll all see I'm the one. I got a Gibson without a case, but I can't get that even tanned look on my face. Ill-fitting clothes, and I blend in the crowd. Fingers so clumsy, voice too loud. But I'm one. I am one. And I can see that this is me.